Welcome to Happy News Network.
We are here to brighten your week while you take a break from doom scrolling.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Shayna.
We wanted to brighten social media, so we decided to make a podcast all about happy news.
Join us as we discuss our happy news finds.
Shayna, what is your happy news this week?
All right. I started a certificate course focusing on sports management, and we love sports. I like managing things. It just feels like a right avenue to look at. And I haven't committed to a whole degree. I've committed to the certificate course. So it's a nice little mini dive into that world. And it's been nice to see how skills are easily transferable, which skills I need to learn or hone further. So I've been enjoying that.
I love that. That's amazing. I love that you're not just like doing nothing like me. Like I've been like baking, but you're like furthering your education and taking this time. You're like taking this time and doing something useful with it. And I absolutely love that. I love it.
We'll see. My life skills are still debatable, but you can actually cook a meal for yourself. So,
but when the real world happens again, I don't have time for that. Who cares? It's just whatever. But I love that, like, you're furthering your education. It's incredible. It's incredible.
Thank you. But cooking and baking, there's total value to them too, because when you have days off, you're going to be like, I know exactly what I'm going to do today. What's been keeping you going?
Last week you talked about this Murals Across America project. So that inspired me to deep dive into the mural project that I work on. I've been working on. So I just got a lot of things done, checking a lot of things off lists. We are seeing a lot of forward momentum. So anyway, what is your first bit of happy news?
Okay. We are going to talk about some really cool sustainable things. I sort of stumbled onto this article somehow, and it's about a newly released commercial textile, and it's very sustainable and it's very cutting edge because top to bottom, creation to distribution to use, everything is green. So the Clean Impact Textile was developed as part of the SEQUAL initiative. It's SEAQUAL, and you can look that up at sequal.org. And it was a community fighting plastic pollution initiative, which is how so many great things have been created to fight climate change is through different community collaborations. So two companies teamed up for this project, Duvaltex and Steelcase. Duvaltex is a tactile producer and Steelcase is an American office furniture company. And they together created Intersection. It is meant to be a sustainable upholstery fabric option, and the textile is made partly from recycled plastic, so it's 69.7% post-consumer, and it uses safe chemicals during productions, which follows California's Prop 65 rule. So the actual production of an already sustainable material is made even more sustainable. Part of the issue with water plastic contamination is that synthetic chemicals are going into the water. So this is more water friendly. And it's so cool. The engineering process is even eco-friendly. So for every pound of fabric produced, 0.5 pounds of general marine waste is removed from the ocean. So the manufacturing process utilizes renewable energy, which keeps everything from sourcing the materials to creating it eco-friendly. And the fabric helps with jobs because the reliance on harvesting those marine plastics helps create fishing industry jobs, which is pretty cool. So it's job creating, it's creating greener ways of using and making fabrics. And this entire process is so eco-friendly that using Intersection can contribute to a project's LEED credits, which is pretty neat. So yeah, if anyone's looking to reupholster their office furniture or get some new office stuff, use Intersection fabrics.
I love. Oh, that's so great. Yeah. Oh man. You know, I love me some of those stories.
Mm-hmm.
Here for it. I found this wild story that is probably going to take me into like an entire click hole on YouTube and craziness. So there is a river under Paris. Yeah.
Not like the Seine River.
No, there's another one under Paris. Let me discuss that a bit. So it's been buried for so long that people like myself believe that it's a myth, but I did all this research and there are like markers on, I've never been to Paris, but apparently there are markers on the sidewalk, like little coins that track its path. So like the river, like all rivers before modern plumbing, it was a vital part of life in Paris and the surrounding area. Many mills and tanneries were built along it and used the river as a major resource. Tributaries were dug for irrigation, all kinds of things that rivers are used for, but it got so polluted and smelly that little by little neighborhoods started to bury it because it was so like just you couldn't even deal with the smell of it. So they started to bury it. And I guess by the 50s, by 1950s, it was completely like it was a total myth. And people were like, there's not a river here. And it's like, no, but if you dig, it's right here. So in order to make Paris a greener city, there are plans to restore this river. Some suburbs have already started uncovering it. And the goal is to have the river back up and running, pun intended, by the 2024 Summer Olympics that are slated to be in Paris. All of that blew my mind. And like, this is from National Geographic. So it's not like I went to some crazy like BuzzFeed and like went on this article. Like this is from Nat Geo.
I feel like we've gone down some sort of like Da Vinci Code rabbit hole. On a sciencey note, I'll talk about my next article because scientists have been studying genetic material from Neanderthal fossils for clues about evolution of the human brain. So thinking about this river, I feel like Jurassic Park with humans is going on right now. So like in a very true Jurassic Park style development, researchers have successfully grown human brain organoids, aka mini brains, containing a Neanderthal variant of a gene that they've called NOVA1. And they used a gene editing technique to study these organoids. And let's just talk about what they've learned, because the process of how it was made and created was just a little over my head.
Yeah, I'm just like, have we seen iRobot? Like, what are your plans for this?
It's to study evolution, and they've already confirmed and dive deeper into certain hypotheses. So, for example, the archaic version of the gene changes the physical shape of brain of those brain organoids. So these human organoids they compared it to have like a smooth sphere. The ones from the Neanderthal derived gene had a more uneven outer layer to the organoids. So those Neanderthal organoids also mature more quickly and they get more active at early stages, aka a brain maturing more quickly is more capable at birth, but it is less likely to continue developing during childhood when humans develop social skills. So this is consistent with the hypothesis that as our human social systems grow more complex, the human brain develops and our development extends longer after birth than when Neanderthals lived all those years ago. So in layman terms, we're more complex as a society, and that's consistent with our brains growing and developing longer into life. So the two are sort of going hand in hand. There are some strong parallels there. Mm-hmm. And another discovery is those who have more Neanderthal genetic material, they have brain networks more devoted to visual and spatial abilities than social interactions.
That is not where I thought that story was going. And that is incredible. That's incredibly useful.
Right. We're not going Planet of the Apes. We're going progress.
So earlier, like in the fall around the election, I was talking about the NBA stadiums converting into polling places, like using the giant empty spaces for something useful for the community. And maybe you saw this like 2 months ago. I guess this article came out around the Super Bowl, but me over here, like so behind the times, I just saw it. So the NFL is officially working with the federal government. Yeah, you saw this. They're working with the federal government to open up their facilities for COVID vaccinations. And like, I just think it's brilliant to use these large buildings that can't operate at full capacity. And it's not even NFL season right now. So they're going to be sitting mostly empty anyway. Just use that space as a way to help the community get to a place where maybe your facility can be used to full capacity someday, soon, I don't know. A ton of teams have already started doing this. Not all 32 teams are involved yet, but you know, we're getting there. And I know even like MLB, the Colorado Rockies are planning to do this. Maybe they already have. Again, I'm like so slow. I can't remember if it was March or May, but they're doing like a big, like, can we vaccinate this many thousands of people in 2 days over the weekend? Let's try it. Yeah, but I just think it's a great way for major league sports to help the local communities. And I love that the NFL is using their offseason to do good. Yeah. So, and I just love that like Roger Goodell has already signed agreements with the federal government. Like, it's not just, well, this could be a fun thing. It's like, no, we're going to, at all of the highest levels, work together to accomplish this. So,
yeah. And that's just wonderful. I think about Florida and how we have 3 football teams in this state alone, and we could really use some help getting people vaccinated here. So yeah. 3 stadiums can really do a lot of good in different regions across the state. So we're going to go on like a completely different pathway for my final article. An Indian teacher named Rajit Singh Desale has been named the world's most exceptional teacher, and he won the award over 12,000 other teachers who were nominated from 140 countries. Mr. Desale was awarded the $1 million prize, the Global Teacher Prize, which is sponsored by the UK-based nonprofit, the Varkey Foundation. They are a nonprofit working to improve access to education for science and for culture. This is just a great match of recipient and mission statement, because Ranjit Singh has gone above and beyond the traditional educator's role for over a decade. So back in 2010, when he was starting out as a teacher, in India, child marriage is illegal, but especially in villages, especially a farming village, it is still an occurrence because people have less money and it is a form of earning money. So he successfully, back in 2010, persuaded a teenage student's father not to marry off his daughter. And he's also gone so far as inventing ways for students to learn using technology, specifically helping his female students continue learning. And so as part of his direct impact, the village now has no more teenage marriages, and the girls, whether it's at home or at the school, have a 100% attendance rate in his classes, which is remarkable. His life has not always been easy. He dropped out of engineering school because he was getting bullied too much. And on his first day of teaching, farmer had turned his classroom into a cattle shed and refused to relocate until he got the police involved, which fascinates me as a story. Not something you really hear about. He immersed himself in the farming villages where he teaches. He learned the native language and translated his curriculum because not everyone spoke the language he was teaching in. They only spoke the local dialect. So he translated everything after teaching himself so that he could better communicate with more people and therefore have more students. So later, with the help of his father, he also bought a laptop and would play educational movies and songs to keep his students interested in coming back to school instead of just leaving to go work on farms. And he used that laptop and would create PowerPoints and translate educational YouTube videos and stop by the houses of families that refused to send their daughters to school. And he would just give them the files himself so that they could go to school if their parents refused to send them. And Staying ahead of tech issues, sometimes files don't work one computer to the next or files become corrupt. He created QR codes to bypass that issue. So he became like his own one-man IT system to help people have education. And he's just so dedicated. And at the end of this article, you're so inspired by everything that he's done. And the way that he received this prize just confirms the kind of person he is. He is sharing half the prize money with the other 9 finalists, and he's using the remaining $500,000 to build a network of like-minded teachers in India. I know I just threw so much information out, but I feel like there's no aspect of what he's done as a teacher that can be omitted from the scope of his work and time.
Wild. Definitely well-deserved. He'd have my vote.
Yes. What else do you have to talk about? Because I feel like my brain is educated out, but I want to hear what else is happening in your world.
My last article that I found, like, do you remember all that GameStop stock business? Like, how could you not remember it? That was wild. Yeah. I found a 20-year-old student from Cornell who made $30,000 because of this. And from it, he decided to do good. So I'm all here for it. He had been following that Reddit group since 2019 and invested in GameStop when everybody else did. And he made a ton of profit. Like, he made $30,000. And he said that because the event highlighted corruption and transferred power away from men in suits, he didn't want to become one of those men. So he immediately donated most of his money back. And because he made his small fortune with GameStop stock, he spent his money at GameStop. So he bought Nintendo Switches and Switch games and donated them all to a local children's hospital in his area. So I just think that's a really great story about someone who took a risk, reaped some major benefits, and then used those benefits to do good for others.
Thank you for sharing. I've heard so many sad stories of ways that people can and cannot volunteer and donate to children's hospitals during COVID. And the idea that you can give them something that is entertainment, that isn't requiring a visit necessarily, is really, really right. Heartwarming. And it supports GameStop.
Yeah. He's like, well, you gave me this, so I'm going to pay it forward. All around heartwarming.
I love that.
Yeah. So what are you looking forward to this week?
I feel like every week we talk about some new amazing scientific discovery or technology creation. And of course, that's when the articles get written, right? To highlight the something that's new. I want to sort of go back to some of our earlier episodes and circle back and be like, what is the status of this really cool invention? Like, has it hit more markets yet? Have they refined it? Has the grant money been increased? Like, I think about the Dyson school project that you talked about. Mm-hmm. And I just want to circle back to some of those earlier things. And I love a rabbit hole, and it feels like it's a productive one. So I'm excited to just curl up on the couch and do some Googling.
Yeah, I love that. Maybe in a couple of weeks we do like a where are they now?
Ooh, I like how you think.
I love that. I was going to do that because I had the same, that's so weird. I had like the same urge literally yesterday. I was like, oh my gosh, I want to go back and look at all these things that we've already done. What's going on? But because what I'm looking forward to, I just don't have time for that right now. That rehearsals for this project that I was talking about a couple weeks ago start this Friday. And I'm so excited. And I know that like there's going to be a lot of restrictions and guidelines, and it's only a 3-hour block instead of a normal like 8-hour day. But I'm so pumped to be in the same room as some amazing local artists and hear them sing some classic songs that we all know and love, like some old Sondheim, some old like Weber, like just bring me the classics. It's what I'm here for. Yeah. So I'm really excited about that. But then once that is over, it's only a week process. So once that is over, I will be also deep diving into the rabbit hole of what we talked about in August and September and October.
I love that. I'm so glad that you get to go back to a rehearsal process, even though it's shorter than we're used to, but how exciting that you get to do the thing that you've done your whole life again.
Yeah. And I'm so excited that it's like just a small group of really amazing people who I know and love. And yeah, so I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be different. It's going to be new, but
yeah,
with familiar product.
Well, happy early first day of school.
Thanks. We love all forms of happy news and happenings.
Be sure to send us your own day-to-day happy news, cute pet stories, kids saying the darndest things, whatever you're up to, we love it all.
Email us at hnnpodcast@gmail.com. Also, follow us on social media at hnnpodcast for happy news throughout the week.
And be sure to subscribe to us through Patreon, where you'll get exclusive content and more.
Until next time, I'm Kristen.
And I'm Shayna.
Have a happy week.